Holy Spirit of God, take our minds and think through them. Take these words and speak through them. And set our hearts on fire for love of you. Amen. Please be seated. In her 1969 book on death and dying, Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote of the five stages of grief that people commonly move through when facing the death of a loved one: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. This was groundbreaking work at the time, and these stages have become widely known, accepted, and integrated into our very lives. They've even been applied to other aspects of loss and grief, like the loss of a job, aging, or the experience of moving to another city. Dr. Kubler-Ross later explained that she never meant for people to think that these five stages were to be experienced sequentially. No, these five aspects of grieving were common experiences of loss and grief that some people could move in and out of, and others just might skip around or go straight to acceptance. So maybe you have been struggling with some of these same experiences of grief these last 8 weeks since Chuck's announcement of his departure. Denial, anger, bargaining, sadness. I know I've experienced all of these different aspects of grief and have talked with others grappling with them as well. A few others have told me that they always think change is good. So I guess they've just zoomed straight toward acceptance. I know in his sermon last week, Stephen spoke about how many people commented on giving up Chuck for Lent. So I'm not going to belabor this point very long, other than recognize that we will all move through or jump around these stages of grief at different speeds due to the departure of our friends, the Treadwells. So let's pray for one another and support one another within this community during this time of transition. But we will reach acceptance when the shock, anger, or sadness begins to dissipate. And it will dissipate, and we will move into acceptance. For as St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in our New Testament reading today, there is always new life in Christ. The old passes away, and everything becomes new. Perhaps I'm rushing the message of Easter coming later this month, that of resurrection and new life. But the reality is that we will experience loss, the old will pass away, and we will experience resurrection. There will be new life. This is a pattern. This is the cycle that happens throughout our lives. The old passes away, and everything becomes new. Always new life, new beginnings exist for those in Christ. Several times in the past decade or so, I served my old parish by being on parish discernment committees. The purpose of these committees was to listen to God on behalf of another and discern whether or not committee members could affirm an individual's call into the priesthood. It was a daunting task, one that no member of the committee ever took lightly. While we listened to the person and the story of his or her call, we also probed and asked questions, trying to better understand, to better discern what God's intentions and hopes for this person's life was for this person's life. One committee member with whom I served on several of these committees had a regular question he would ask these aspirants to the priesthood. After listening to a variety of questions posed by other committee members, he would always ask the aspirant, "Whose church is this? Who is in charge of this church?" every person who was asked this question would respond that the priest is in charge of the church. My fellow committee member would slowly shake his head no. The person would then catch and correct themselves by saying, it's God's church. That's whose church it is. That's who's in charge. And then this committee member would shrug his shoulders and say something along the lines of this. Well, yes, that's true. But in reality, it is the people who are in charge of the church. And they will let every priest know of that very fact when he or she first arrives and throughout his or her tenure at that parish. Theologically, these aspirants did come up with the correct answer. The church is God's. But God has entrusted the stewardship of the church to the people. We are the stewards of the church. And by the use of the pronoun we, I mean all of us, not just me, Stephen, and the clergy. Too often, church members think it is the clergy that are supposed to be running things. But to be honest, the church canons say clergy are to tend to the spiritual needs of the church and ensure that God's word is preached and the sacraments are administered, equipping members of the congregation for their ministries. All of you sitting in the pews, and even those who are not in worship with us today, are the ones entrusted with a significant responsibility for caring for St. Paul's. It is a sacred trust given to us by God. We are called to be stewards of this church. Too often the term stewardship is only heard in the church during its annual fall pledge campaign. Don't get me wrong, pledging and tithing to the church is important, not only as a symbol of our gratitude to God, but so that an annual budget can be written with some degree of confidence. But stewardship has a much broader meaning than just raising the funds needed to run the church and pay its bills. Stewardship is the sacred trust given to us to tend to the common life of the church. Yes, it involves money, but it also involves using our gifts and time in ministry on behalf of the church. It is ushering, driving those who can no longer drive to Sunday worship, serving in the choir, at the altar, as an oblationer, a greeter, teaching Sunday school, praying, or helping with a youth program. It is those who step in to help with the sound system, committee work, visiting the homebound, cooking and serving food. It includes those who help with the sexton set up and clean up after major and even minor events, the acolytes, the altar guild, the vestry, and so many more roles of leadership and service than I can name. While a good portion of our Lent this year has been spent grieving the departure and celebrating the gift of Chuck's ministry among us, there is still time to respond to the invitation to have a Holy Lent made on Ash Wednesday. In that invitation, we were charged to observe a Holy Lent by engaging in, among other things, self-examination. In response to that invitation to self-examination, why not look at your ministry on behalf of St. Paul's? How are you tending to our common life here at St. Paul's? How are you using your time and talent in the stewardship of this gift from God that is St. Paul's, and in gratitude for all that God has given you? As you work through your grief about Chuck's departure, remember that Chuck was called to steward St. Paul's alongside all the rest of us, with each of us using our gifts and talents for the glory of God on behalf of God's church. God will be calling a new rector to help us with this stewardship. That you can count on. The question is, how will you, in the year ahead, commit your time and gifts to support St. Paul's in its preparation for our next rector? How will you participate in the new life God is bringing about here?